guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And before we get started, I have a little ASMR for you guys. I was waiting to pour my glass of wine until I started recording because I thought it would sound cool. So here we go. Okay. I only got one shot of this. My wine of choice this evening, if you're curious, is Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, 2018. This is still the gift that I got from my coworkers at L'Oreal. They sent me, LOL. They gave this to me with their own hands. So, I'm still drinking that. I believe I was also drinking this last week or the week before. But a follower said that I should start getting into the habit of telling you guys exactly what wine I'm drinking each week. So here I am telling you what wine I'm drinking. A lot of updates for you guys, of course. I just got back from London, as you know. I discussed this last week, how I was going to London. Also, if you hear any, like, weird noises during this episode and all future episodes this winter, it's my heat kicking on and kicking off. And it, like, quite literally kicks. There's, like, a kick noise when it turns on and off. So, for my sake and sanity, please don't make me turn it off because I will freeze. I will be a popsicle, and no one likes that. No one wants to date a popsicle. So, for my sake, let's just keep it on. So, yeah, this wine is making me really crave cheese. Like, really crave it, but I'm trying to not... Whoa, I almost just spilled it everywhere. I'm trying to not eat cheese, or, like, a lot of cheese, until next week because I'm hosting a Friendsgiving at my apartment. I still don't have a coffee table, which is going to be an issue, so I need to, like, figure that out or make a makeshift coffee table. That's, like, a random thought, but I am making a cheese board, like, an epic cheese board that I plan on, like, having it cover my entire, what would you call it? I guess it's not an island, but, like, I have this skinny-looking kind of, countertop thing that I guess kind of looks like an island. So I want to, like, cover it in a cheese board with, like, all sorts of things. I'm inviting all my friends over, of course, and we're just gonna each bring a dish, you know how it goes, and just hang out before we all go home for the holiday. So I'm trying to not eat cheese until then, but I know I'm gonna cave and I'm just gonna crack because I love, like, that's the one thing, well, okay, not the one thing, but it's a very major thing that is keeping me back from being vegan. Like, well, that, and I love steak and chicken and a lot of other things that are animal based, but cheese is just the one non-negotiable for me. Like, I feel like I could cut out meat if I have to, and, like, I feel like when I have a baby or, like, I'm pregnant, I think you're supposed to, like, cut out a lot of meat, so that's gonna happen anyway, but cheese is the one thing I just simply can't part with. Like, I just can't. Whenever I pour myself a glass of wine, especially, like, a crisp white Sauvignon Blanc, I'm like, where is the cheese? Give me the dairy. So, anyway, I digress. I just got back from London. I ate a lot of cheese there, so related, kind of. London was insane. It was exactly what I'd expect. I'm actually looking up right now. Above me, I have this, if you've seen photos of my apartment, I have this it's like this board. It's a wire board from IKEA. It's gold, and I have all these photos, just like little paperclip. No, what are those things called? The little clampy ones that aren't like paperclips, but, you know, like they clamp down. They're like that. I have a bunch of those holding up pictures above, and I just have all of these little, we did a lot of photo booths when we were in London. There's a lot of photo booths. I feel like there's a lot of photo booths in New York too, but, like, I just don't notice them because I'm not, like, visiting, but there were so many. So we did three different ones, and they're all above me, and I'm looking at them right now, and my mouth is wide open in all of them because I was just dying laughing, which is a telltale sign of a good time, of course, but, or just a lot of martinis, which, same thing. But yeah, so London was insane. It was just quite a trip. I feel like I love traveling and I love trying new places and being in new situations and, you know, all sorts of things related to that. But also I forget how exhausting traveling is, especially when there's a time change involved. It's just the most exhausting but most exhilarating, just great time, but it's exhausting. So, you know, we were trying so hard to stay awake and, like, not waste any of the day. And so yesterday I just crashed. Like, I could not do anything remotely productive because I was exhausted from the trip, but we did a lot of fun things. I'm actually putting out a vlog of my experiences because I vlogged the whole time, much to my friends' dismay, because they're getting better, to be honest, but they're still a little bit hesitant about being on the vlog, especially when they have no makeup on at the airport, which I was putting the camera full on in their faces before they'd even had their coffee yet. And it was just, you know, I was trying my best to get all the content. And they're going to thank me for it once they see it and are like, wow, I can remember this trip forever. But in the moment, they're always like, oh, Katie and her camera again. And I like got in trouble a few times for like taking pictures of things or videos of things I shouldn't be, you know. Whatever. That's, you know, a day in the life of someone who's been on YouTube since 2009, so I'm used to it. Anyway, so a vlog is coming of every little detail and things I did, but the main thing of the trip or the main goal was to spend time with my friend Iria that we never see, so it was good spending time with her. We went to so many amazing restaurants too. We had the most amazing, I feel like the one thing, if you're going to go to London and visit, like I did, the one place that you like absolutely need to go is Dishoom. It's spelled D-I-S-H-O-O-M, and it's the most amazing Indian food place. Like, just, it was so great. I'm not usually a huge Indian food person, but it was just incredible. So, yeah, highly recommend. Anyway, so, yeah, London was wonderful. It definitely, like I said last week, it opened a lot of doors in my mind, I feel. Like, a lot of things. I was like, wait a second, like, I am feeling some type of way about this certain thing, and I didn't know that I was feeling that sort of way, you know? So obviously I'm back with a lot of material, a lot of things to talk about tonight. And the main one, or the main just topic I'm going to delve into, to be honest, isn't at all related to London, but it's related to things that are related to London, aka just all of the freaking hot men. Wow, guys, like there's something about, like, yeah, a guy can be hot and like be attractive and whatnot, but throw a British accent on top of that and like put a fork in me, I'm done. Okay, I'm also embarrassed I just said that phrase because my grandma says that and she's like 80, but whatever. I guess I'm slowly just turning into my grandma, which is a terrifying thought because she is just horrendous with social media. She's one of those people that will accidentally share my friend's posts on her feed that I'm tagged in instead of comment, whatever. I digress. So anyway, yes, the London men were dashing. They, you know, gave me a lot to think about. The number of them that were hitting on me and that were, you know, being super flirtatious in like the most amazing way, in the sense that, for example, my friend actually was talking to this guy in a club that we were at. We went to this club called The Box, which is something that, well, it exists in New York as well, but the one in New York is a lot less raunchy and crazy. The one in London is like a live sex show. It's actually a sex show on stage, basically. And as the night goes on, it gets more and more crazy. So we were at that, of course, because, you know, when in London we go. So we were there. She ran into this, or not ran into, she didn't know who he was. She met this guy at a table, and he was like, hey, like, you know, do you want to go for a walk in the park tomorrow? Of course, with this fabulous British accent that I'm really bad at replicating, British accents. And she was like, a walk in the park? Like, you don't just want to like go hook up or something? Like, walk in the park? That is the most like unexpected thing to come out of a guy's mouth. And, you know, it's kind of sad that that's unexpected. I feel like that should be something that's a little more normal. But if someone asked me to go on a walk in the park, I would assume they're trying to abduct me. And like, yeah, that's honestly what I would assume. So anyway, gave me a lot to think about. The number of really attractive, well-dressed, well-mannered guys that were hitting on me in London. I'm like, why on earth do I have to live in New York? But you know, whatever. It is what it is. We are in our own bubble here in New York, where guys are just ridiculous until they are like 35 and then they're too old. Whatever. So, you know, in that grain, tonight we're going to be talking about liking people. And, you know, this comes at an interesting time, or like, obviously all my episodes have to do with what I'm currently going through. I am getting into the point in a talking relationship, I guess, or like a talking, you know how people say like, oh, they're talking, like that's kind of what I'm doing with someone right now. And I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to develop those little feels where you're like, I think I like them, but I don't know yet, you know? And that got me to thinking of just every other time I've ever liked someone. And I say like because love is just like a terrifyingly huge word that I just don't even, I'm not even touching that tonight. Tonight is about liking. And you know, put yourself back in your elementary school, middle school, like before you even knew what a vibrator was, shoes, and think about the first time you were talking about like, oh, I like him. Because of course, saying like, oh, I like him is a different, whole different ball game, whole different, you know, universe as compared to liking someone. Like, I remember how it's just so innocent and cute when I think about me talking about people I like, and I just have this very, you know, when you have like just very vivid memories of certain like locations in your youth, like places you used to go, or just like something very specific. Like, I have a very vivid image of my friend's basement. And whenever I think of my childhood, of, you know, elementary school and beyond into middle school, I think about us huddled down in this basement. And she had an unfinished basement. I remember it so clearly. It smelled very strange down there. And we would always sit down there, you know, to escape our parents. Like, our parents would be upstairs, like, hanging out, whatever. And we'd go over to play, of course, because everyone was like, oh, you know, can you play? That was what we asked. You know, instead of like, oh, can you hang out? Like, no, that was way too, you know, high school. It's like, oh, can you play? Because at that point in time, you still had time to play and still had the means to play. Anyway, so we were in this basement, and we would always go down there when we had, you know, secrets to tell, and when we had things we didn't want our parents to hear. And, you know, our dirty secrets consisted of like just very obviously innocent things. And I remember my one friend Abby having this crush, because she was 1 year older than us. So of course, like, me and my other friends, we were all like the same age, and she was 1 year older. So of course, she was like much more mature, and she always made all the decisions because she's 1 whole year 12 months earlier. Wow. Love you, Abby, if you're listening to this. So she had this crush on one of our other neighbors, who I think is actually gay now. So, or not now, but he came out. We're pretty sure. Anyway, so he lived 3 houses down. And I remember her just, you know, talking about how she's like, I like him. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. This was elementary school, probably like 4th grade. I'm like, you like him? And I'm like, do you love him? Because that's like, you know, from every Disney movie I'd ever seen, that was what I thought was the way you're supposed to talk about people that you, you know, have those feelings for. And she's like, no, I like him. And I'm like, wait, is like more than love? And it just like shattered my mind. And she was trying to explain to me like what it means to like someone. And so that was like my first, you know, exposure to the concept of liking someone. And of course, from that point on, I would, you know, find myself fantasizing over every prepubescent boy that crossed my path. And I even invented like make-believe music videos in my head. Like, I would hear a song like Break Even by The Script. That was like the ultimate music video song for me in my head. And I would just invent these like really, you know, tragic stories of me like loving someone. And like, I just, yeah, the one missing piece was I just couldn't find anyone to love me, and that I couldn't find anyone to actually fulfill my music video fantasy. And honestly, I'm kind of glad now looking back, because I feel like, obviously, as we know, a lot of high school boys are horny out of their minds, and that's all they want. They just want to get laid. So I kind of dodged a bullet there, not having like many major crushes in high school / ones that lasted past high school. So anyway, we're going to be talking about liking tonight, of course. I actually put on my story tonight that very iconic scene from Sex and the City. It's not like the most iconic, but it's one that's always ingrained in my mind. It's when Carrie goes, she's like, I really like him. Imagine what that does to a girl. Wait, is that it? Verbatim? I'm going to look and make sure. Yeah, I really like him. Imagine what that does to a girl. And I'm looking at her hair. You can usually tell what season it is based on her haircut and style. There are certain seasons where I'm like, Carrie, what the heck were you thinking? This looks like season 5. So I think it is, or maybe 6. I think this is about Petrovsky, who isn't my favorite. He's not my least favorite. Berger is my least favorite by far. I think he's everyone's least favorite. But nonetheless, she's talking about this guy, one of the various men that she dates throughout the show, saying, I really like him. Imagine what that does to a girl. And this is always how, whenever I'm in any sort of like flirtationship or situationship, if that's a new word I heard today that I'd never heard before, someone actually DM'd me saying, can you talk about situationships? And I'm like, am I that out of touch with just, I don't know, Gen Z things that I'm literally a Gen Z. I'm just saying, like, there's just new words that pop up out of nowhere, and I don't know what they mean. There's all these TikTok words my sister has to tell me about that I don't know. Anyway, situationship, which I recently found out, it was popularized on Love Island. If you guys see that show or watch that, my friends are obsessed with it. I've seen a few episodes. It's basically about how, you know, people who don't want to be in a relationship, they just want to be, I'm reading this from this girl's message, they just want to be in a situation that makes them feel good and it doesn't benefit either person. A situationship is technically where you are dating but not making it official, you're just being dragged along, which sounds like every relationship I've ever been in. So, great, good to put a word to the situation now, situationship, but every time I'm in one of these, you know, relationships, situationships, instead of feeling, you know, sensations of bliss and excitement and warm fuzzies, I feel like it just affects me in the complete opposite way. Like, I feel terror and, like, I'm like, actually shook by it to the point where I feel like it's, like, traumatic. It's like a trauma, honestly. I think that, like any other major trauma, it feels like kind of any situationship or relationship, like one of those impending ones that you can feel it coming, it's kind of a trauma because, well, for me, of course, this is very sad to say, but I feel like for anything similar to this, it always just ends. I'm almost kind of bracing myself knowing it's not going to go well, or just kind of giving myself very low expectations or setting very low expectations just in case it does, which is really sad. And it should be exciting when you feel like something new is starting and fresh and whatever. But for me, it feels like, you know, an impending doom, or kind of like I'm relinquishing my power. I feel like when you're involved with someone else, to some extent, it makes you give up some power, which I think is a good thing, you know, because because I'm so independent to a fault where I just call all the shots in my life, and I, of course, I have room for my friends and my family, but for the most part, you know, I it's my way or the highway in a lot of things, especially living alone. I've made all my design choices here, and like I've like done a lot of things on my own, and so it's very much relinquishing power, which is scary. And I actually wrote down some other little thoughts because you guys submitted, I asked you guys about that Sex in the City little, I wouldn't call it a meme, I guess it's just like a quote, you know, that like that scene that I said. And you know, when you see that, what do you think? So when you see Carrie saying, I really like him, imagine what that does to a girl, what's your first thought? And the results to that, like what you guys said, were just, you know, it confirms everything that I've ever thought about liking someone. And I really wish I should share all these, to be honest, because it's one of those things where I forget that you guys don't have visibility to everyone else's thoughts like this. And it's my job to share with you guys that you're not crazy, because all of these other people, you know, perfectly normal people, feel the same way and think the same way. And so something that someone said was very similar to what I just said about relinquishing power. She said, you know, liking someone and them having that little bit of control over you, which is true. And I think it's to the extent where it's when you're in that very, very fresh, very, very premature phase of texting someone that you like or Snapchatting them on the reg or just occasionally seeing them for drinks and whatnot. It's almost like there's this waiting game. There's push and pull where you're texting, you're kind of, you know, the exchanges of like they send something, you send something, they send something, and then they, you know, you send something and then they don't respond, and you're like, holy shit, what I do to fuck this up? And like you think it's your fault and it's all on you, and like you overthink everything to every, you know, little minuscule detail, and then you ask your friends what they think and if they think that they like you and all of this stuff, and it's just a crazy mind game until you finally get the text back from them and you're like, okay, thank God, you know? And I hate living like that, truthfully. I really hate it. And so when it starts, you know, creeping in that I'm starting to like someone, I'm like, well, shoot, I better run, because this is just going to go poorly and make me feel insecure and make me go crazy. I really honestly hate how I feel when I'm unsure about how they feel about me. It's really just something I quite frankly don't have time for. So I'm in the phase where I get scared when I start developing feelings, because I worry that it will just mess with what I have going, if that makes sense. So, you know, what I'm doing right now, how I'm living, how I am, I'm really happy with this person, so I don't want it to change and for me to go crazy over this person that I don't even know if they care about me. You know, I don't even know if they like me back. I don't know any of those number of things. So that is like the major anxiety that I feel surrounding liking someone. But I also, you know, a bunch of you guys brought up other points and things that you think about, like the first thing that you think about when you start liking someone. Someone said, do I meet their typical standards of who they typically date? And this makes me think about, you know, just the general comparison that we all do when we are seeing someone new. We always compare ourselves and just relentlessly creep to find out what their ex-girlfriend looks like. And, you know, do we look like her? Is she skinnier than me? Like, we compare ourselves that way. And then she also said, what would his friends say about me? Or, you know, for me, it's like I picture myself walking into a room of all of his friends, you know, when he's introducing me, if he ever introduces me to his friends, because that's a very big, you know, it's a big step. And I'm one of those crazy people that, you know, when I leave the room, I'm like, okay, what do his, you know, friends think of me? What are they saying about me when I'm not here? And like, you know, what would his, especially like if he has girlfriends, like what would they say about me? Are they going to give their stamp of approval? Because I feel like a guy's girlfriends rating you as a, you know, a girl in his life, that's the biggest stamp of approval that you need, especially like if he has a sister, that is the biggest one. And I overthink, overanalyze. You know, for me, all of my biggest insecurities just come to a head and come out to play when I am considering liking someone. When I, you know, my brain is doing that, like, it's like in that one episode of SpongeBob where he's, I think I've actually mentioned this before, where, you know, there's a million little SpongeBobs in his head that are running around, like the whole place is on fire and they like can't find something. I don't know what they're looking for in there, but like that's what I feel like when I'm starting to like someone, like my head is exploding. Have you seen that one emoji where it's like that head explosion? That's what I feel like. So I'm like thinking about all these things and all the ways it can go wrong. And like, truthfully, like my life would just be a lot less complicated if I just didn't even meet this person, you know? And that's how I feel. And yeah, it becomes more work than it is, you know, than is necessary, or that is just, what's the point of this? What's the point of all this work? And so, yeah, I feel like a lot of us feel this way and we just don't even want to articulate it to more than just our close circle because we don't want to be thought of as crazy. So here I am taking a bullet, telling you you're not crazy, but I guess, you know, any guy that I've ever seen ever that is listening to this is like, well, it all makes sense now. So I'm going to take a quick little break to introduce one of tonight's sponsors. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Lola. As you guys know, I love Lola. I use them every single month. I'm subscribed to their services. I love them very much. Lola is a female-founded company that offers a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. And the founders started the company with a simple and extremely obvious message in mind that women should not have to compromise when it comes to their feminine care products. You know, if we cared about the ingredients in the food that we eat and the products that we use on our faces for beauty, why shouldn't it be the same for our feminine care products? That was their initial mission. I love what they've done with the company and how they market themselves. I just love everything about them. So that is why I am proud to be sponsored by Lola. Unlike other brands, Lola products are 100% natural and very easy to feel good about. There's no BS, no mystery fibers, or doubts about exactly what is going in your body. And plus, they come in a very simple, customizable subscription. They'll deliver exactly what you need when you need it, so you never have to have anxiety about having what you need on hand. Also, they have this new line called Sex by Lola, which is a line of gynecologist-approved sexual health and wellness products like lubricated condoms, personal lubricant, and cleansing wipes, which are designed first and foremost for women, which is life-changing. A lot of those products were usually in the past designed with men in mind, which doesn't make any sense to me at all, but regardless, I love Lola's dedication to women, putting us first and our needs first. I love their line of women-focused sex products that are actually formulated to deliver the sensation and reliability that we deserve without the unnecessary irritating additives. So I love that about Lola. I love their whole service. I love their tampons. Can you tell I love them? I just love them. So yeah, of course I do have a deal for you guys tonight. So for 30% off of your first month subscription with Lola, just visit mylola, that's M as in mango, YLOLA.com, and enter my code HelloKatie30. That's Hello KATY 30 when you subscribe, and you'll get 30% off of your first month subscription with Lola, which is incredible. It's a no-brainer. You gotta sign up. And thank you to Lola for sponsoring this episode. All right, so carrying on, I just want to take a moment halfway through this episode to say that if you are dealing with any of the anxieties that I discussed earlier in the episode, you deserve a big fat gold medal. We all do, because yeah, like there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of trauma that comes along with liking someone, as dramatic as that sounds. It truly is. Like it you know, it's the thing that, like, I mean, I've seen my friends have very traumatic breakups recently. Like there's been a few where I have never seen them so sad, and it shakes you to your core. Anything that makes you cry like that, you know, it's one of those things where people say like, oh, you're being dramatic, or like, I don't get why you're so obsessed with talking about this. And I get that a lot, just coming from being a YouTuber and talking about love and how I love and I love talking about it, and people don't get it. They think I'm shallow and there's so many bigger things I could be talking about. But truly, guys, I think people neglect, or people look over, just completely disregard the fact that, you know, getting to the point where you really do crack yourself open and are open and intimate with a person, it's really huge. And I don't think that anyone should ever discredit all that goes into being open with someone to the point where you are close to dating them or actually dating them, because I just think everyone who deals with all this stuff and all these anxieties and all of these insecurities, you deserve to know that it will all pay off someday. Because I've said this before, every time things go south and things don't go well and he breaks your heart, or just a number of things in ways things go wrong, it's you're teaching yourself, you're seasoning yourself for when things will eventually go right. And you know, you've been through this, so you know, it just makes what is eventually coming that much sweeter, going through all of these sour bits, you know. And so I just wanted to say that, because I feel me talking about all these just anxieties in the way that I look at liking someone can kind of be traumatic to people, especially when there's like old wounds that are being, you know, salted, I guess, at just the thought of all of these things. So yeah, I feel it's one of those things where it's kind of like, it does kind of alter your existence a little bit. And I know I'm just being super dramatic in all the ways I'm describing this, but I really hope that some of you are nodding your heads at this, because you're feeling like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I'm talking to my friends about this guy that I'm dating or talking to or whatever, and like how it's bothering me in this one way, or I'm just wondering if he cares about me, or what does this text mean? Sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit too much. I kind of feel that I'm bothering them, or I feel that I'm crazy and that I should just be a little more chill, because I have some friends that are so chill and relaxed with their boyfriends and their love lives, and I'm just not chill at all, to be honest. I'm not chill, but I guess I care a lot, because as I've said, I'm like a self-proclaimed lover of love, and I'm obsessed with it and all of its inner workings. And yes, that does set me up to be disappointed often, but it's something I'm not going to give up on, because I feel like I'd be letting the harshness of society and the world win, and just the ugly bits of the world win, if I give up my love for love. And I hope that you feel the same way, because wouldn't it be just so amazing to someday be with the right person and be able to say, I never lost that, you know, gleam in my eye when I think about the person that you now are. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel. It's like my take on loving love and whatever and what have you. So if you ever feel that you're talking to your friends and you feel like you're too much and that you should stop talking about this and stop obsessing, maybe you should get some new friends, or maybe you should stop being so in your head about it. Because to be quite honest with you, my friends are great and they are not the problem. It's me worrying about burdening them. That's always how I've been. Like, I have a really hard time asking for help, and I truthfully don't do it often. So, you know, unless I literally have no other way of solving the problem. So that's just a me problem, to be honest. I have to start opening up more to my friends, I think, and less to just you guys who I love, but still, you know, there's other people I should talk to. But regardless, that's a whole nother thing. So yeah, I also do want to talk about in this episode, I touched on this last week, I think, and some of you guys actually DM'd me about it specifically and were like, talk about that more. My main insecurity, or like a very big insecurity that I've had forever, but especially when it comes to dating, is I get super insecure about my body. And when I start to like someone and get to the point where it could become intimate and I could be like potentially naked with them, you know, I get really nervous about it, because I worry that And, you know, obviously this would be a huge reflection on that person, and like that should probably deter me from even being with them to begin with. But I worry that, you know, we'll be in such a good place and he will be super feeling it and I'll be super feeling it, and then we'll hook up or like get to the point where I am not wearing clothes and he's like, oh, okay, wasn't expecting that. Like, I always look at myself in the mirror before a shower or whenever, and I'm like, gosh, like, what would he think, you know, that's just my main insecurity. And it's heartbreaking because I just know when I'm with the right person, they're not going to care, or they're going to love what they see. And I know that. I tell myself that. Everyone tells me that. But that does not mean I'm not going to obsess over it, of course, because I am human and I don't listen to anyone besides myself and all my insecurities. So, yeah, that's a big insecurity for me, of course. And the guy that I am talking with right now has an incredibly, like, insane body, and I'm like, oh my god, like, clearly he cares about his physique so much that like he's gonna be like, what the fuck, why doesn't this girl have abs? I'm gonna be like one of those girls. People, I remember, so in college we had these away weekends where we'd go away, obviously with a fraternity, to the mountains or to the beach or wherever, and it'd be like you'd rent a house and you'd have a date and whatever. And I remember some girls at this one away weekend, it was like the dead of winter, and we were at this mountain house, and these girls had taken bronzer and like chiseled abs on their stomachs. Like, these girls are so fit anyway, I don't know why they did it. And they like chiseled these like fake abs onto their bodies, like with bronzer, which no shame if you do that. But then they got thrown into the pool and their abs just mysteriously disappeared, and it was the funniest thing ever. Anyway, but that's going to be me when I get to the point of being intimate with this guy, if I ever do, because he's probably going to listen to this podcast episode and be like, well, our next date is canceled because I heard all of your secrets and I heard all your anxieties and you're a crazy bitch. So, you know, but that's just the risk I take. That's the risk I take being a podcaster and helping, hopefully, you guys feel less alone in your insecurities, because we're all in the same boat. It's just some people just don't talk about it as much as others or at all. So taking a quick break to introduce another one of tonight's sponsors. Tonight's episode is sponsored by HelloFresh, which is America's number one meal kit, where you can get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your front door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy, and that I have done. I love HelloFresh. I love how easy it is. You guys know how challenged I am in the kitchen, so I love that I can just open my front door. Well, truthfully, my doorman has it downstairs, and he gives it to me when I walk in the door, but once I bring it upstairs and open all the goodies and put them in my fridge, I get super excited because I'm just really unoriginal when it comes to food. I make the same thing over and over again, and I just need someone to literally put in my face a new recipe that I'm forced to make, and I fall in love with it. And so that is why HelloFresh is the friend that I need, because they are putting recipes and things in my face that I need to make for myself and give myself nice meals to warm my stomach up in these winter months. So I love HelloFresh. They make cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you have everything you need, which is really, really helpful for people like me who are challenged in the kitchen. So it helps you to break out of your dinner rut, because they have 20 plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week, and there's something for everyone, from family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian. There's so many options, and you can also add extra meals to your weekly order, as well as yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough, which sounds amazing right now. I wish I had that, like, right now. So yeah, HelloFresh is amazing. You can easily customize and change your delivery days. Overall, they just make the process of cooking and loving food extremely easy. It's a no-brainer. I just absolutely love HelloFresh. I've gotten a lot of my friends hooked on it as well. And I, of course, have a special little deal for you guys. So for 9 free meals, that's 9 free meals. Like, imagine how much you'd spend on 9 free meals eating out. That's a lot of money. For 9 free meals, just go to HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie9. That's Hello, K-A-T-Y 9. And use my code HelloKatie9 for 9 free meals with HelloFresh. It's a no-brainer. Try it out. Let me know what you think. And thank you to HelloFresh for sponsoring another episode. Like, we can't help it. We were not taught this in school. We were taught about triangles and Pythagorean theorem and stupid stuff that I'm never going to use ever again. But we were not taught about, you know, the normal things of how to navigate the dating scene and how to not be crazy in a relationship and how to go on a date, go on a Hinge date where you're seeing someone guy's photo and hoping that he looks the same in person and hope that he's not annoying and hope that, you know, I don't know, you can make an escape to the bathroom. And I feel like for me, the hardest part about Hinge dating is because you're, you know, talking to this person and you're just like going on and like it's kind of like a job interview and you're like just droning on and on about things and you're listening to them talk and whatever. And I will always have anxiety about leaving to go to the bathroom. Like, that is like my biggest anxiety on a date. And so, like, I remember this one time I almost peed myself because I didn't like have the courage to tell this guy, I'm sorry, can you hold that thought? He was talking my ear off and I was like, I didn't have the courage to be like, or I did, but I just like couldn't even get a freaking word in to say, hey, can I go to the bathroom? Or like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, hold that thought, and then like have him sit there by himself. Like the thought of him sitting there by himself, like probably texting all of his friends about how, I don't know, his many thoughts of me, whatever. Like that whole concept to me is just something they don't teach you on how to navigate that and how to feel, how to say the hard stuff and how to do just literally anything important, to be honest. So, yeah, it's natural that we're going to have some anxieties. We're going to have some questions. And then we're just labeled as the crazy girl that, you know, has all these questions and, like, has all these anxieties and is freaking out and overthinking. Whoops. Oh, my God. So funny. Someone just liked me on Hinge as I said that. I was, like, very on point. But you know what? You're not crazy. And I can justify that with the number. I've gotten so many people responding to my story, just saying all of their anxieties that if a guy saw this, he'd probably pass out because, you know, but this is how we feel, okay? And so another one that I got that was actually really, really great, someone said, wondering what he's doing all the time and why he hasn't responded. Yeah, so like when you text someone or you Snapchat someone and like you can tell like hours have passed, they're definitely on their phone or they've even posted something. Like that's the craziest shit when someone like posts a story or something and you're like, wait, you didn't respond to my text? Like what the fuck are you actually doing? Like why? And yeah, that is something that it's like nails in the chalkboard for me. It's like, it just really drives me nuts. Like I'm whatever. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. It's like, what could you possibly be doing with your time? Like that sends a pretty loud message to me that you're not interested, because if you were, you'd be like excited, like your heart racing when you got a text from me. And like, that's how I feel when I like someone back. Like I'm not going to just update my story before responding to them. Like, yes, I'm gonna of course give it like a healthy 5 minutes before I respond so I don't seem like eager, but you know, I'm not gonna like go out of my way to give it several hours. I think that's actually crazy. Like that's like psychopathic. So to be honest, that sends me a message, but I also feel that there's just like weird, there needs to be like a very set in stone guide to how long you're supposed to wait to talk to someone, because you know we have to all be aligned here. I feel like guys, girls, we're not aligned, we're all not on the same page, and of course every person's different, but I think we need to come together, join forces, and figure out, you know, what is an acceptable time period and like follow that. And so we can expect, that's just me though, I feel like I'm like, can you tell the moral of the story here is Katie needs to know exactly when things are going to arrive. Like the future needs to arrive when I want it to. Like XYZ events need to happen on this day because I say that it's going to happen on that day. That is how I look at my life, which is unrealistic because, you know, the future is what it is. It's coming. We can't stop it. We can't dictate it. It just happens. And so I'm just bad at that. Can you tell? But yeah, no, it's an anxiety a lot of us feel though, because I know, so a friend of mine went on this date and she had the most amazing time. She said it's the best date she's ever been on. Like she was freaking out on the phone to me. I love this. My friends call me, very Sex and the City-esque, of like after a really good date or after a really bad date, people just call me up and tell me about it. And I love it. I love being in the know and I love all the juicy details. And I love being able to say like, you know, if you marry this person, I'll be able to say that I got the phone call after the date. But regardless, a friend of mine was talking to me about the date that she went on that was like so amazing and out of this world. And she was like, so like, do I text him after the date? Like, do I text him now and say thank you, like, for the great time or, like, whatever? And I'm like, well, did he ask you? This is the conversation we had. I was like, did he initiate it or did you initiate it, the date? Like, did he ask you or did he make the plan? And she's like, he made the plan. Like, he said this restaurant, this time. And so we decided together that she should text him first because he made the plan. So she should say, hey, like, it was a great night, whatever, let's do it again sometime. And then we wait. Then we wait to see what happens after that. He responded again, you know, after she said that, he said, like, no problem, like, it was a great night or something like that. And then the conversation was over, and my friend was like, do I text again? And I'm like, nope, now you're gonna go to bed, wake up, and then tomorrow you're gonna text him. We decided together. That was, like, our thing that we decided. And then, of course, she texts him, and several hours go by, and he does not respond, and she's freaking out. She's like, oh my God, he definitely slept on the night and realized he had a horrible time, and all these anxieties were going through her head, and she was, like, texting me all frantically during the day, and then he texted her and said, like, hey, sorry, I was in a meeting, and that's how it went. So, guys, truthfully, yes, we do drive ourselves crazy. We become the worst versions of ourselves when we're going through a crush and when we like someone. But at the end of the day, it's something that we all go through. It's something that we all experience. There's really no way to beat it, you know, because personally, the way that I was choosing to beat that whole anxiety and stress was just eliminating it altogether and not even entertaining the thought of dating someone and just deciding that it wasn't for me because it was changing me and whatever. But I think it's just the initial terror of going through a crush, and then once you get to the other side of it, things are ultimately sweet, but you just have to, like, get there, which is half the battle, of course, you know, as we know. But, and this is a very strange parallel, but I was just thinking about, I was reading this book about Martha Washington, who is George Washington's wife, of course, and she had these, like, four kids from a previous marriage before she met George. She was married to this other really rich guy, and, you know, her story is actually really tragic. I would do a whole episode on her story, to be honest, but I was reading about her and about how she had, like, four kids or something, and only one of them survived past, like, the age of 9 or something ridiculous. I don't know the exact details, but, like, in the olden days, you know, it was improbable that your child would make it past a certain age. And I know this is a very bizarre and kind of inappropriate parallel, but I'm thinking about it like when you're dating someone or going on dates with someone, kind of entertaining the idea of loving someone, whatever, going through that tough period, it's like, sometimes you're gonna make, like, you don't know if you're gonna make it through that period, like the, you know, first 9 years of life or so. I think that it was like, you know, if a child makes it past a certain age, it's like you're probably gonna live to be 30 or so, which is considered old in those times. But I think the same could be said about a relationship or about a flirtationship or a situationship. It's like once it gets to a certain point, like, you know, you might make it to that point. You're not really sure if it's going to last to that point. But once you get over that hump, things are great and it's expected to be fine. And, like, the, you know, the relationship is going to live. The child would live. And, like, that's how I kind of see it. And I know I have very strange analogies. You know, that's just me, I think, as a person. I have very strange parallels. I, like, see something and I'm like, that reminds me of this completely unrelated, totally inappropriate thing that I should not discuss outside of my brain. But regardless, I think that, you know, we suffer. We go through the trauma of developing new crushes and we push through because eventually it's going to be so sweet and we have to remember that. Yes, you know, it's very true that we should not be accepting anything less than what we deserve. So I think that the first sign that things are just, you're uncomfortable with something or you feel that they just don't respect you or a number of things like that, stop lying to yourself. Get the fuck out of there. I think a lot of us lie to ourselves and we're like, oh, you know, like, he's liking other girls' bikini photos, but that's because they're friends and whatever. No, guys, like, you know when things are bothering you. Talk to him about it, first of all. You know, if he doesn't change his ways or doesn't do things to your liking and to your comfort, then get the fuck out of there. You're gonna find someone else. I think that's the anxiety, too. People think that they're not gonna find someone else. You're gonna find someone else. There are so many. There's like 7 billion people on this planet. You're gonna find someone else. And, yeah, so I think that we put up with the, you know, the initial trauma and anxiety that surrounds crushes and liking someone because it will eventually be so great, and when it is, we won't have to worry about it. We won't have to doubt that they care because it'll be so obvious and so painfully obvious that they care that we won't have to. So those are my two cents. I am sleepy. It is like when I do these podcasts, I get to the end and I'm like, oh my God, where's my bed? I'm so tired because I give it all to you guys. I give every last little juice I got. Someone is like screaming upstairs. Is there a game on or something? Like, I don't know. But yeah, that's my cue to leave. I love you guys. I hope you guys are doing well. Keep your chin up. I know things like this are tough, but like I said, we're all going to get to the other side eventually, and it's going to be so sweet. So I will talk to you guys all next week. Have a great rest of your week. Goodbye.